I'm here with another episode of Bank On It, and I'm joined by two incredible rock stars, Favor and Kendall, and they both on the Capitec Future Leaders program. Incredible, incredible talent. So excited to chat to you.
Yes, thank you so much for having us. Very excited to be here.
Yeah. Tell me, firstly, how do you get onto this program?
So I saw it by chance, actually, because I was actually working at a previous place, and then I just went on Leaply. So Leaply is a platform that has a lot of like both bursaries and graduate programs on there. And I was scrolling one day, and I was like, I might as well take a chance on Capitec. So I took a chance, I applied, and now I'm here. Yeah.
Sure, it made it sound so easy.
Yeah, but it wasn't an easy process. It was quite lengthy.
I can imagine, like properly intensive.
Yeah,
Kendall?
Definitely. So we had a career fair at UCT, so I studied there. And one day I was just walking around collecting all the booklets, seeing where I could fit in. And I met the eligibility requirements for this program, applied, wrote long essays, and did a bunch of tests. And yeah, we got here.
That's incredible. I mean, I used to just collect the free stuff.
Yeah. I mean, so maybe you did that
just bribe me. You know, give me a water bottle or like stationery and stuff.
The card case behind the phone sold me. I was like, yeah, I need to be there.
See, that's a note for everyone that's listening to this podcast. Give away free stuff. That's how you get good talent.
Always.
Right? But listen, we're here to chat about your money styles and Gen Z and the personalities and all of the cool stuff. We listen, we don't judge, right? So I'm keen to hear, let's kick off with you, Favor. What's your money personality? What's your style like?
My style is very, I would say I was quite a liberal with my funds in my first year of working, but I think I spend as I go, but I have learned to budget. So since then, since I started working, within my first year in Capitec, I was a big spender. Like, I would just spend it on sneakers. And if my friends want to go out, I'd be like, okay, cool, what time? Just give me a date and time.
Just sponsoring things.
You know, I'm just there with my girls. But then within my second year, I realized that it's actually quite, it's not sustainable. And that's when I started budgeting. But I think I use a budget system very differently. The way I budget is I just use my budget to understand what my expenses are and what I'm saving towards. So I don't check it on a weekly basis, but it's just for me to have more structure with my finances. So I'm not much of a liberal as I used to be, but I'm a bit more structured now. I mean, I would still go out for a drink or two with the girls, but I think my budget is just for me to understand what I need to spend on and what I'm saving towards.
So you have a rough idea at the start of the month?
Yeah, right. I have a rough idea.
Just like...
Yeah, just give me a vibe of how the month would look like.
Gotcha.
So what do I need for my expenses? What do I need to save towards? If there's any short-term or long-term savings, what is that? And how much do I need to put in every month in order for me to reach those goals?
Got you. Yeah. Which is very disciplined. It's you're adulting. Now you're adulting.
I'm adulting.
Right? Kendall, the teams told me before this episode that you have a set of spreadsheets and you run scenarios and you do a proper plan.
I like to have fun. With, how can I say, restriction within a mean.
Okay.
So what I mean by that is I like to know exactly how much I'm working with, where it's going to. And that's how I am liberal with my funds. So at the beginning of the month, I get all of my expenses out of the way. I know exactly how much I'm spending, whether it's transport, whether it's for fun or for going out, or even if I want to purchase something. And then also I like to identify like smart ways to save. If I switch out a coffee on a Monday morning, for example, that means in 4 weeks' time, I'll have an extra, let's say, $100 to spend on something else.
Got you.
So I like to be structured in that sense, but I also know myself. And my money style is very tailored to easy ways to get to my goals. So I'm always working towards something, but just making it easy for myself in that regard.
So you're playing the long game. You kind of know. Take me through. You don't have to give me the details, but let's talk a bit about the investing saving component. Like, what are some of the things that you like investing in and some of the ways you use your cash to save?
So I'm a lazy investor, in the sense that I don't look at the stocks, I don't read up on it. The maintenance, you know, like a finance bro, that's not really me. I can see trends and I can know where it's going, but that's why I like to look at funds that are a bit more mixed, the portfolios are
easier. Gotcha. Diversified stuff.
Yes. So looking at some things that are low risk, some things that are high risk, but ultimately stable, so that I don't have to check up all the time. So I can invest continuously, but they know that growth will be sorted in a few years, few months, so on. Also, in terms of saving, I do like using my banking app as the primary platform to save, because I have immediate access to it. I can see everything. And Capitec does have great options. So there's, like, say, for example, a fixed account, a 7-day notice, 32-day notice. Moving money between accounts, it's also very easy. So I like to name the account based on what I'm saving towards. Weekend away, pair of shoes, whatever. And then that's part of my expenditure at the beginning of the month, putting that money away immediately and knowing where it's going.
Got you. Viva, you're the same. You kind of long-term investor, or you just prefer more liquidity, just having more cash and be like, in case I need it.
So I do have an emergency fund. So that's my case I need it. And then I always have like one thing that I'm planning towards. So one long-term, one short-term. So now that I have a car, I have like a car account. So that's my long-term. So I put money in there. And then my short-term is like maybe a December fund, for example. So I put money in there as well. So I think I'm kind of similar, but not big on investments, just using the Capitec like saving tools that are already there.
Got you. Now, everyone I've spoken to at Capitec, super entrepreneurial. People love side hustles, right? Which I find incredible. I think it's amazing that people can have a job and still have a passion on the side. Most companies are so suffocating. Like, listen, you know, after work is after work. Like, we separated. Take me through some of the cool side hustles. Not that you involved in specifically, but just Gen Z in general. Like, what's trending out there, side hustle-wise?
I would say a big trend right now is content creation. I think there's so much money there, and a lot of people are realizing the amount of like money you can make from content creation. I have a lot of friends that are now going into that, so making short-term, like short-form videos on TikTok, or even starting like a YouTube channel, for example. It's a great way of actually like making an added income. And I've also seen quite a few people go into like reselling on Amazon, for example, even on Takealot. So you buy in bulk and you just sell it on Takealot, and you can make quite a good amount of money on that while still working a 9-to-5. So that's also been a big trend. And I think a lot of people are starting to go into it, a lot of Gen Zs.
Kendall, any side hustles?
Most of the side hustles that I've seen have been in the university space. I think a lot of people underestimate how much opportunity there is. So things like invigilating, working at your, we had equity centers, you know, things like the library, for example, and even getting involved with tutoring. So there's a lot of those structured side hustles. I think with those as well, your time commitment is much less. And then you get like a set fee. So it allows your less entrepreneurial Gen Zs to also find a way to make an income.
You know, you both did such an incredible project called Clients of the Future. Clients in 2030, right? And I looked at it this weekend. I was like, wow, I haven't even thought about some of this stuff, right? So I want to chat about it because it's so cool. One of the things you mentioned was content creation. You mentioned remote work. Digital nomads. Like, take me through how you see the world of work evolving in the next 5, 10, 20 years.
I think a lot of people are now finding different ways to upskill themselves. And with upskilling, they're creating jobs for themselves. So using those platforms like Fiverr and Upwork. But I think it's really going to change the job market because now people are no longer going towards 9-to-5s. Like, I can upskill on Udemy, learn how to be, I don't know, a copywriter, for example, learn how to copywrite on Udemy. Then I just hop on Fiverr. I charge people 500 rand a month and I make money from that because at that point I can have multiple people coming to me for my service.
You just scale it up quickly.
Just scale it up very quickly, maybe even employ a few people to help me with my business. And it completely removes people from actually just having a stable like 9-to-5. I can be in Dubai right now, just on a yacht even while my people
Who knows? Maybe we are in Dubai right now shooting this podcast. Right,
shooting this while we're just making money.
Exactly.
But I think it's really going to change how people actually find jobs in the future. Because I might just want to work for Fiverr, I don't know, who's a copywriter and has a business, rather than maybe even, I don't know, for example, go to Capitec and study marketing and actually go to university, study something, when I could rather just go on Udemy, on Coursera and actually just learn on those platforms. So I think it's not only about changing the job structure, but I think it's also going to change how people educate themselves and how people upskill as well.
So the ways of learning is not centralized, it becomes super decentralized. Kendall, I'm super keen to get your views on how you feel remote work kind of integrates into being at a physical location. Are you someone in your line of work that prefers to be around people on the desk all the time, or you just kind of prefer the flexibility?
So a bit of both.
Okay.
So Fave and I are both in marketing. And in our profession, having that personal connection, being able to chat with your colleagues, to play ideas off of them, and also just to run things by them, it's so much quicker in person, so much easier, and you get a more earnest reaction. Mm-hmm. However, in order to finish things, you need some flexibility. Mm-hmm. So that's also why I think the future of work would be that integration, as you say, of things being flexible, but then also having a permanent or a reliable source of income. Mm-hmm. So we have to look at technology that's available. Things are becoming so easy. It's going to become even easier to have that mm-hmm. side hustle. So while you could keep your 9-to-5, maybe you have other responsibilities. You could also say, for example, I don't know, maybe you want to sell content. Maybe you want to run a logistics company out of your bedroom. Maybe you're mining for Bitcoin in the back room with the aircon on. You know, there's a lot going on, and it's become so easy to do it all. Mm-hmm. So I think we're looking at almost getting a bonus out of your side hustle and using that for enjoyment and to spoil your loved ones, and then looking at your primary source of income for those key expenditures, rent, fuel, those things.
No, it's fascinating when we talk about side hustles and earning income. And I want to bring in social media into this, right? Because when you look at social media, everyone makes it look so easy.
Yeah.
Right? Drop shipping, content, and, you know, being in the content game for a few years now, everyone thinks, wow, I'm just going to get cash, because you just get followers, you make content, you get to do podcasts like we're doing, which is super cool, and it just pays, yeah. right? But what you see is a small percentage of creators and a small percentage of people that are trading positively and stuff like that. So when it comes to passive income and the highlight reel, do you feel that it skews the perspective sometimes of people who believe this is easy money, I can get rich quick?
For sure. 100%. I think people forget that those jobs are actually like, you're an entrepreneur at the end of the day. And they forget the hustle that goes into that and the job security, for example. So you don't have your pension fund and all those things, but people don't think about that. They just see the lavish lifestyle, like, oh my God, someone's making 35K.
Unboxing wow,
a Chanel bag after running a business for 5 months.
Yeah.
But they don't know that the person possibly could not have like a pension fund, for example, and the long-term savings and all of that is not taken into account. And people don't speak about those things, especially when you're young. You kind of just want to live a lavish lifestyle and you forget about the things that would happen in your future. So people just see the nice parts of it, but they forget that this individual is an entrepreneur and she still has to hustle and possibly pay people and have other things to do as well. And I think it has skewed how people view entrepreneurship because they think it's easy.
Yeah.
But so much work possibly that goes into it. You have to edit for like hours. The video doesn't just come out like overnight. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of editing that goes into it, and obviously shooting as well like this. So people forget those nuances because you just see the end result of it and you don't see the process towards getting to that end result.
I want to pick up on that, Kendall, because you are really strong on saving for the future. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'd rather enjoy something in the future than today, right? And you play the long game. So especially with a generation and this is not Gen Z, it's everyone that wants those quick wins and the quick fixes, and they want to gamble and just kind of make easy money. Like, you know, what do you say to people who are just fixated on that short-term image?
So I want to correct you on one thing.
Okay.
I do enjoy
okay. So you don't fight.
Balance. But I think ultimately when you are chasing these quick wins, people often forget like your financial fundamentals. So it's nothing hectic like, oh, I have to go and like refresh my economics and understanding of all these concepts. But it's something like, as your income increases, keep your expenditure low. Identify places where you can still save, because as Fabian mentioned, it's sporadic. So you can't always plan for it. You can't always rely on it. Mm. And that's what people forget. So they're chasing these quick wins for that lifestyle, but they forget that life goes on. Mm. So I think while you can do all of these things and it's brilliant to do so, set yourself up for success. Prepare for things where you can. Try and integrate this new lifestyle with things that are already working for you. And that's why there's this book, I think it's The Richest Man in Babylon. Mm. And we had a lecturer who made us summarize the book. It's not long, so it wasn't that deep. But there are such important key messages that are so easy to understand. Mm. And I think everyone would benefit from just going back to those. It's only 8 rules, but, you know, something fundamental. For example, keeping your expenditure low.
I thought you were going to say rich dad, poor dad.
Oh,
I was like, no, come on. Like, we have to cut. We'll cut this podcast. Just edit that. But let's chat about Gen Z at the workplace. Especially post-COVID, there's been big thought pieces that people writing and research reports that Chelsea is chaotic. They're out there, they're flipping tables, they're causing chaos, they're not tolerating stuff that previous generations tolerated. They pick up and they leave jobs quickly. Like, help me. Just let's separate the facts and the fiction here about the intergenerational differences and what makes Gen Z so unique in the workplace.
I think because we grew up in a space where, like, we had technology, we have access to social media, which means a lot of information. So we're seeing what's happening on a local scale and also internationally. So we see what people our age are doing, and also people that are older than us or younger than us. And I think we've understood, or we are trying to understand, or we're seeing things that have worked before and things that aren't working. So we're trying to change those rules, because when you see something's not working, the best thing to do is then change it for the better. And I think we come into the workspace wanting to make an impact and actually wanting to make those changes, because we're seeing what's happened previously. And like, this has not worked for the betterment of our generation. So let's actually do better with the information that we have. So going in, I think we're a bit more confident, because I like to say, like, bring back shame, but shame is not a thing anymore.
No, people are shameless. People are shameless.
Like, shame is not a thing anymore. I think that that's what liberates us in a sense. We're able to stand up in rooms where people are just like, why are you even standing up in this room? I remember my one friend, when we started in the first 2 months, she went into the CEO's office and she's like, hi, I'm so-and-so, nice to meet you. And he was like, okay, like, nice to meet you. But it's such a prominent thing. Like, people would ask, like, oh, why would you do that? But why not? Is he not a person? She's a person. So I think we forget, or we don't have those, like, we don't see hierarchy as a thing anymore. Yeah. So we break those barriers and we want to actually make a change. We want to change things because it wasn't working before. So let's find a better way to make things happen now. And now we work more with impact. I remember having a conversation with another grad, and she was saying that when she gets a task, she sits down with a manager and she wants to understand how this task actually impacts someone.
Yeah. So work with purpose or meaning.
Work with purpose and meaning. So she wants to see how this actually impacts both the business or even people outside of it. And that actually allows her to work better in that space. So I think a lot of things are now changing. People are working with purpose. People are breaking the hierarchy, like, barriers that were previously there, or if they're not even there at all. But I think we're more liberal in our sense. And it's genuinely because we are shameless, which is a good thing.
It is good. It is good. I mean, Kendall, at a very surface level, based on the conversations I've had, I mean, Capitec has a very flat structure.
Yes.
It's not very hierarchical. I mean, I've spent my life in banks, and it tends to be quite suffocating. It's very hierarchical. It's a strong pyramid where it's approval, 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 leave request, goes up four layers and it gets rejected, right? But it's not like that at Capitec.
No, it's really not. So the nice thing about Capitec is we're all on the same level because we're all chasing the same goal.
Yeah.
You know, we want to deliver the best product for our client. We want to serve our client. And when we're all aligned to that mission and with that purpose, it makes discussions at a table, whether it be with the CEO, with the CMO, with an intern, it makes it easy because we're all working towards the same thing and we're speaking the same language. But another thing is just coming together as Gen Z. We're coming from a lot of different social contexts. I don't think they've had that previously in the workplace. So we also acknowledge everyone's lived experience and the fact that you might have more knowledge over a certain topic and I might have more knowledge over the certain topic. But where our expertise overlap and also those gaps in between, there's value in that. So our focus has shifted from that personal development in terms of career progression and more value-driven value-driven goals. So if we're working towards the improvement of our clients in terms of service delivery, it's because we've had our experiences in those departments and we've seen other people struggle there. It's just Capitec empowers us to do that and it gave us the platform. I mean, our clients of 2030 speech, we're barely 2 years in the workforce. And we had the opportunity to discuss with real players in the market. So it's all about giving Gen Z's a platform and allowing us to do our thing.
Yeah, that's incredible. Where was this work environment when I started? Like, this sounds too good. Now I'm going to switch it up, right? And based on your careers, I'm sure there's a lot of people always giving you advice all the time. Kendall, do this. Favor. Think about this. And people are great at giving advice, not taking their own advice, but giving advice is easy, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you to give me your best advice for people that are studying or young professionals coming up into financial services. What would you say to them?
My advice is very tricky, but I honestly really lean into what my manager says, and she always says better than by fire.
Yeah.
And a lot of people might not like that, but that has helped me in so many ways. So just sometimes you just have to go in head first, like just dive in, and better than by fire breeds diamonds. So it gets rough, but just know that in that roughness is when you're actually learning. Mm. You can't learn when everything is nice, nice and goody goody. So whenever you're having a hard time and you're studying, you're like, oh my gosh, this is too much. It's in that hard time that you're actually learning something, and you need to apply that, and you need to do the hard things to get to a good place. So if I can leave anyone with one line that I live by, is baptism by fire.
Yeah. Listen, I'm laughing because I watch this Day in the Life TikToks. I'm like, this is not a day in the life of banking. Like, I'm going in line, I'm having coffee, I'm having a snack.
Yeah.
I'm going to chat to my teammate, my colleague. I'm going for lunch. It's very glossy. It's glamorous, right, Kendall?
For me, it's plain and simple. I heard it for the first time in high school, and it stuck with me straight through. The more you do, the more you can do.
Hmm.
And it is basically baptism by fire as well, because you will get to a point where you're like, what did I get myself into? But you come out of there with so many learnings.
Hmm.
And the other thing is, I heard this the other day, and I absolutely love it, fail forward. You're not going to win all the time, especially not at university, especially not in a new space.
Mm.
But if anything, fail forward. And you know, people bond through misery. Mm. So the more you fail, the more you stump your head, it's an opportunity to talk to someone. It's an opportunity to get that advice that you're probably not going to listen to, but you can get it anyway.
Mm.
And just have more to relate to with your colleagues. So yeah, there's...
That's your two cents, actually, because I feel like with failure, it's not just about that, but it's taking the learnings from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think people fail and just like, okay, cool, like I'm stopping.
And then they go fail again. Yeah. Do the same thing.
Do the same thing.
Yeah.
But what did you not do right? I think you need to clock that actually and be like, okay, cool, I didn't do this aspect right. So change that. But always find the learning in a failure. Mm-hmm. And that's why I feel like failure is actually so beneficial sometimes, because there's a learning in there.
I love that. Do the hard stuff. Fail fast. Fail forward. Such good advice. You need to do more episodes with me. So, Faye, Kendall, thank you so much. Such a good conversation. Really insightful. I really appreciate having you here.
Thank you so much for having us.